Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Du lyssnar på Dekonstruktiv Kritiks julkalender. Jag är Aron Flam. Idag ska vi se vem eller vad som döljer sig bakom lucka nummer 16. Nämen, är det ett socialistiskt land på ruinens brant som Ali Esbati hade så höga förhoppningar om? Japp.
So, they accuse you of being an activist.
Right, exactly.
Because you have taken sides according to the regime, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, according to them, I will say that there are, if I'm going to agree to something, I would say that, of course, I gave a statement publicly in the National Assembly.
Yes.
Which
you were asked if you were to take sides, and you said you can't take sides,
yeah.
But you would prefer to be on the side of freedom.
Yeah, which is, to me, not a very radical statement. I mean, to me, it's sort of should be second nature to anyone. And what I did there and what I was very careful to do was that I was invited to speak about my experience being taken by the colectivos and held at gunpoint. And that was what I spoke about. Not once did I mention the government. Not once did I malign anyone. What I did was speak about something that was obviously criminal activity to hold a journalist at gunpoint, threatening their lives. And, you know, slapping them across the face. And for me, it's bizarre to be called an activist by calling out what it was obviously a crime committed. So calling me an activist, yes, I was on the side geographically. I was in the home of the opposition telling that story.
But they also accuse you of being very close to a lot of the opposition.
And the reason, yeah, I mean, I think what they were saying between the lines was actually they're alluding to me having a relationship with a particular person within the opposition even, which has also been a very popular type of commentary on the internet in the past week, that apparently the reason I'm so involved is that I have an opposition boyfriend, which, you know, for the record, I don't. You know, I'm still gloriously single. However, you know,
duly noted.
Yeah. I just want the internet to know because it's important. It's hard out there for a single Jewess. So the point is that I have tried to get access to the government. I have tried for 3 months to get access to every level of the government. If I was invited to go speak with the government and to speak about my experience in Venezuela publicly in the same halls before the government, I would 100% do that. If I was allowed to sit down with Maduro, I would do that. If I was allowed to sit down with Diosdado, I would do that. And I have tried and tried and tried. But the issue in Venezuela is that the people that will grant me access are opposition, which is also why I've taken extraordinary steps and put myself in danger to go to places that are only accessed by chavistas, that are only accessed by colectivos, to give a very fair and balanced view in a place that where no one does that, because it's easy. You know, it's easy to say, oh, you know, Guaido is God. Now I'll go back into, you know, to comfortable Europe again and do my reports from there. But I didn't do that. I kept staying you know, even though it's like I'm having this very difficult, it's like a romantic relationship, a very tumultuous romantic relationship where you keep being treated like shit, but you keep coming back and feeling the love regardless. And that's sort of my relationship with Venezuela, that I keep coming back and trying to give fair assessments of a very difficult situation, which is why I don't really understand why they deported me in the first place, because, you know, this doesn't look good for anybody. And having me in there and allowing me the access would probably be a better course of action, you know, in my humble opinion.
Well, but I would, the other line of attack against you in the, let's find out what they were called, Orinoco Tribune.
Mm-hmm. Orinoco Tribune. They're getting a lot of shout outs today. Yeah.
They will get more. They will get more shout outs. Yeah. So they accuse you of being too close to Sheldon Adelson, mm-hmm. which is a rich American Jew, if I'm not mistaken.
I mean, the rich American Jew, from what I've heard, yes.
Well, there are several, actually.
So, I mean, fair enough.
And a part of the Tikva Fund, which mm-hmm. is a Zionist organization.
Yeah, it is. And also politically conservative, which is, you know.
That too.
Yeah, so it's all of those things. And yeah, I've studied at the Tikva Fund in New York, and I think it even says so on my Wikipedia. Like, it says so everywhere. It's on my Wikipedia. It's out there.
So it's not a secret.
No, and I'm quite proud of it. I mean, it's a very distinguished place, and I've learned a lot. And this is a think tank where you study under a lot of very distinguished, knowledgeable professors. And I've studied religion there. I've studied, you know, freedom of speech, military issues, all of these things. Because this is my line of work, of course. These are the things I cover as a journalist, and I've never
but
tried
how
to
do you view journalism? Because I've read a few articles of you, and you are quite emotional.
I am, yeah. And I think that's what put me in this position. It's the blessing of the curse of it all, that I kind of walk into these situations heart first. And even, you know, my security...
Always brain first.
No, I can't. Yeah, but I'm not on that whole... You know, Jordan train. I don't do that. Like, this is I'm all heart, sort of. And that's why I think why people respond to the work that I do, because I'm obviously emotionally invested. Some would say that that's not okay for a journalist to put so much of themselves into it. And to
be one of those people, actually.
Yeah. But
if you're just a writer, then fine. I mean, if you write novels or. Yeah, I guess, whatever. Hemingway was in a war, I think.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary. Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Several.
And his works weren't that emotional, so that doesn't really matter.
I'm trying to stay away from the Hemingway comparison as best I can, but I will say that I think that what I'm doing is for sure journalism, because if I wanted to give the emotional narrative, if I wanted to sell a romantic story, then the smart thing to do would be to solely cover the opposition and then write that narrative as it's being sold. But what I have done, especially in the last month, is I wrote, one very scathing article about Guaido and the opposition and the failures of that opposition and why I think, you know, they've lied to a certain extent and failed to several extents.
The opposition.
The opposition, yes.
Yeah, because you were one of the first journalists to got to interview Guaido.
Yes.
Guaido.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I did that on my first trip. And then after my third trip, you know, seeing how things change, and especially after what happened at the border on the 23rd of February, again, you know, with both brain and emotion, I could see that something was tangibly different in the country and how people felt about the opposition. And then learning more about the history of the work that the opposition had done, I wrote a very long article for the Daily Beast about what I thought was basically Guaido dropping the ball. And if I feel like I've received hatred now from the Chavistas, it's nothing compared from what I received from, you know, the opposition then, because of course they felt that I had failed them, that yes, I should be on a certain side, and I was not. And I got the same type of hatred when I went into La Piedrita and met with the top colectivo boss in Venezuela. And when I sat down and spoke with him, because they thought me being in that room was selling out, me being there was siding with evil, basically. And so I think that you can be emotional, because I am emotional about Venezuela. I am emotional when I see things that evoke human emotion, but I also think that it's the most effective type of journalism, because today everyone is flooded with information, but you need to sell the story, and you need to sell it, come at people like a human being. And for better or worse, like, all my flaws are out at any given time. I'm really telling stories in real time, and I'm doing it as a person experiencing it in real time. And I think that's why it's very effective. And I think also that's why it's perceived as quite threatening by certain people, because I'm alone out there. I go out alone, and I'm experiencing and learning and asking questions as anyone would in that position. And I don't think it takes away from my journalistic effort, not at all, because, you know, I adhere to the rule of sourcing. I am fair and balanced more than most, to be honest, especially when it comes to Venezuela. But yeah, I've been photographed crying and laughing and dancing with Chavistas and, you know, hugging opposition, because these are people and I relate to those people. And I show that they're, like I said once and many times perhaps, is that there are a lot of colors in Venezuela, and none of them are black and white. And there are no black and whites in these stories, unfortunately. No unequivocally good and bad. It's just a really fractured and broken society, and that's why it's important to be there.
So how is press freedom in Venezuela at the moment?
Well, I mean, I was deported.
Well, so, I mean, for internal media.
Oh, I mean, anything that I go through is nothing compared to what my colleagues go through on the ground, of course, because for whatever reason, you know, I have a certain amount of security with a Swedish passport, with being able to reach much further than most Venezuelan journalists can. And the things that happen in the cover of darkness, we know, are, you know, somewhere between horrible and despicable.
Tack för att du lyssnar på Dekonstruktiv kritik. Jag är Aron Flam. Vill du stötta Dekonstruktiv kritiks arbete, och det vill du, så kan du göra det på patreon.com/aronflam. Patreon.com/aronflam är ett ord. Via PayPal med Bitcoin eller på Swish 0768 943737. 0768 943737. Du kan och bör också köpa boken Det här är en svensk tiger och boken Älskade public service, som jag skrivit tillsammans med Jens Ganman. Till nästa lucka, det vill säga imorgon, ha en god tidsenhet.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more.
and is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.